Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 damn. True Underdog. Damn, damn. Unleash damn. The power within.
I'm Jason Waller here with the True Underdog Podcast and Underdogs. I have got a returning guest today, a good friend of mine. This guy is a true entrepreneur. I mean, he started his business by finding a truck and taking a chance on himself and putting some money in that. He's built multiple companies. My buddy here, Brian Scudamore. How you doing, bud?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me back, Jason.
I'm super excited. So last time we talked about, you know, your wow one day painting, we talked about 1-800-GOT-JUNK, but you've been doing a lot of things since the last time we had a podcast, right?
Well, since then, we've certainly got three brands. So things are growing. We're busy. We've got Shackshine, which is the house detailing industry. So we're trying to professionalize a third space and we're rocking it. But the pandemic's been great for us. I mean, obviously a hard time for everyone in many ways, but business-wise, rocketing revenue, records keep getting broken every month, and it's been exciting. People have spent so much time at home, and I'm in the business of home services, so we've been having a great time.
Yeah, I think that's why we get along so much. We love to help people out with services for their home, and I was checking. I know you've got two books out, right? It's WTF, Willing to Fail, and BYOB, Build Your Own Business, Be Your Own Boss. Talk about those books real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the second book. So it's funny, as an entrepreneur, and I think you and I are similar, where we're probably a lot of ADD and just a million things on the go at all times. I never thought I would write a first book. Roy Williams, the Wizard of Ads, our co-author, he does all our radio creative, and the guy's a genius. And every year we'd go visit him in Austin. He goes, Brian, you got to write a book. Brian, are you going to write a book? And after 8 years, I said, Roy, stop asking me. I don't want to write a book. My ego as an entrepreneur, I don't need to check that box as many do. And he said, Brian, it's not about you. It's about the people you will help because of the stories you guys have lived. And I said, okay, if you really believe we've got stories to tell that'll make a difference, let's do it. And 60,000 books later with WTF, so much great feedback. People say, listen, you've inspired me to start my own business. I don't necessarily know how, but I'm going to figure out how to do it. And that led us to the second book. BYOB, Build Your Own Business, Be Your Own Boss, is about how do you then take the leap as an entrepreneur? So many people like you and I, we got out there and we figured it out. And I talk about two paths in the book. One is, do you want to blank sheet it, start from scratch and create from nothing like Jason and I did? Or do you want to take a proven formula and figure out how to build something based on what someone else has proven to be a success? You take Shaquille O'Neal, who I talk about in the book, having dinner with him next month, which I can't wait. The guy has been so amazing to learn from. And he said, listen, I took everything I knew from sports, how to build teams, how to set goals, how to lead people, and I put it into franchising. And the guy's worth $500 million and just kicking butt. It's amazing what you can do in business. Blank sheet, start from scratch, or start a franchise. They're both great options.
You have looked at the franchising side. You know, my wife has been interested in setting something up, whether it be a spa or whether it be, I'm a big cryo fan. Have you heard of cryotherapy?
I have.
Oh, I love cryotherapy. You jump in the cold chamber.
Yeah, I've never done it.
Well, so first of all, I've done it and I'm addicted to it. They have it in Michigan big time. I moved to North Carolina. I found one place that does cryo here. It's a company called iCryo. And this one guy owns all the state. So you can't do that. And my wife's like, well, they have a name. And so I've been torn why she's doing this. So maybe some listeners out there can get your advice because you built from the ground up and you help guys to franchise, guys and ladies to franchise. So I told her, look, just create your own and we'll put the cost in. And she's like, no, I really want to do like a franchise model where they have everything set up. But it's more seamless. What would your opinion be for a listener out there in kind of the situation me and my wife were talking about?
Yeah, well, it depends on your personality. You know, so it sounds like your wife wants a proven recipe. She doesn't need to be the one creating and building the race car. She just wants to drive it. So you decide what your personality requires. I love to create things from scratch. I love to make mistakes, learn from them, tweak them. Others want to go, you know what? I want to hedge my bets. I want to take someone else's proven plan. So in the early days of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, It took me 8 years to get to $1 million in revenue. Our first franchise owner got to $1 million in revenue in 8 years. Sorry, in 1 year, because what took me eight took him one, because he had a proven recipe that I made work. And I said, go follow this. You will be successful. We'll support you. And that's what franchising is all about.
Now, all of your businesses are franchising opportunities, correct?
It is. I'm in the franchise space. So I'm not in the junk removal business. I'm in the franchise business. We find amazing people. We give them the systems, the support to be successful. We hold them accountable to a proven recipe and to their own goals, their own profit targets. And we work with them to help them build really successful empires. You take Paul Guy, who started that first franchise in Toronto, $1 million in revenue in his first year. He's now got $100 million in revenue across all the units he owns in 1-800-GOT-JUNK throughout Canada, US, and Australia.
Wow. See, that those are great stories that listeners and viewers need to see and hear, because some people are sitting there and they're like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if that's for me. And they just doubt themselves and they don't have the confidence. So to hear stories of people taking a chance, or as you mentioned earlier, you know, hedging your bet on yourself, betting on what you think is going to be successful. And I think it's important that listeners pay attention to that. I want to bring up also in franchising, Mark Wahlberg. You know who Mark Wahlberg is, right?
Don't know him, but certainly a fan. Yeah, of course, right?
Yeah. So I've had the luxury of you know, having him on the show and did some things with him on a foundation. And, you know, him and a buddy of mine, they are partners in two franchises. One is F45 and the other is Wahlburgers. And he is a big believer in franchising because he went out there, utilizes his name, say, partners with people to really scale that. Do you think, and that's his business model, do you think it's important, because you mentioned Shaq, that you have to have an influencer or a big name to make this successful, or do you not?
I think both roads can work depending on what you're looking to accomplish. I mean, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, we built into a $600 million business. A $700 investment in a pickup truck. And then I've grown this thing over 33 years. Now, overnight success stories take a long time for sure, but $600 million, we didn't have any influencers. We didn't have any brand names. Very few people even know who Brian Scudamore is, but they know 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So I think you can absolutely build a brand without having an influencer. It depends what you're in. I mean, you get people think that it's a faster ticket maybe to springboard a business if you bring in someone who can get out there and talk about the brand, and all the publicity they get can be helpful, but I think you can go either route.
I keep throwing questions at you and you're answering them perfectly, because you're being able to touch both sides of the fence of those listeners that are all about building a brand and have to have a big name, or all of those that are putting in the hard work and are being able to scale the system. So it's good stuff. So I heard an interview with Author Hour that 66% of North Americans dream of starting their own business. It's 66%, that's 2 in 3. Yet only around 15% of the people actually own their own business. There are so many people who want to start the business. What do you think holds them back?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big delta. That's like 50% of people who don't take action and don't do something to start a business. So I'm hoping that my book, BYOB, will help change that. I think there's three paths. When I said before, there's two ways to start a business. Do you start from scratch, or do you start a franchise or buy a business from someone? But the third, I think, is if you're trying to get over the leap, go work for an entrepreneur. Go get a sense of, is this world even for me? So be one of those people that goes, okay, I don't need to take a risk yet. Let me go get a great job in an entrepreneurial business. And let me just be on the sidelines a bit watching, like, is this something I want to emulate? Do I want to be a leader building my own business, building my own brand? We have 600 people in our head office. And these people, many of them would say, I never want to own my own business. But they love supporting entrepreneurs. They love helping our franchise partners be successful. So I think it goes back to, again, you asked, you know, what should your wife do? Start a franchise, create from scratch? It's about knowing your personality. I think one of the things that is challenging about being an entrepreneur, it's the ups and the downs. And Robert Herjavec, a buddy of mine, a fellow Canadian, Shark Tank, he said to me, I asked him, I said, how do you help franchise owners or entrepreneurs get through the storms, to weather the storms of entrepreneurship? And he said, it's mindset. He said, Brian, we get to do this. We get the ups and the downs, and it's just going for the ride and enjoying both parts of that. So I think with an attitude of, you get into entrepreneurship and you go, okay, here's a challenge, here's a tough economy, I've got some people problems. We get to figure out how to solve those. And that's exciting if you are the right person to be an entrepreneur.
Now, a word from our sponsors.
Well said. I agree. I think if you line up 100 people, only maybe 5 or 7 of those people are built for this, because you're right. It's up, it's down, it's left, it's right. You know, and I think when you're winning all the time, you're not getting better, right? I mean, you're just winning, you're getting comfortable, and you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. We were just talking before we started about my business and how it's grown. And then we've had to scale it and skinny it and really slim down because we had too much overhead and be more efficient. And, you know, there's nothing, you don't ever want to let people go, but you also want to, you know, do what you can for what's best for the entire brand and the entire company. So sometimes you have to reorganize stuff, but you know, those are challenges that I'm learning through as we do them and getting better as the CEO and entrepreneur. But also, my team's getting better. And if we didn't have these challenges, we wouldn't be as good a company as we are today. We're better today than we were a year ago. Our numbers might be a little bit down. We might have shrank a little bit, but we're more efficient. What would you say of those that have it really easy? Don't you want to challenge them, in your opinion, to where it's tough? That's what makes them better?
Yeah. You know, my first book, WTF, Willing to Fail, that you mentioned, I wrote the book. I called it WTF after writing the book, because I was like, man, I've gone through so many failures and made so many mistakes. But that's where the excitement really is. You can look back and go, wow, we wouldn't have won hadn't we made that mistake. It would have been a hollow victory if you just win and win and win and win. It would get boring. So the challenge is, when you look at those, you just go, wow, that gets to light you up. But again, it's a mindset and it's a hard thing for people to do. But I know you and I both do this. We look at a down economy. We look at a pandemic and we go, there is opportunity here. Look at DoorDash. I was talking to the CEO of DoorDash not long ago, and man, they have lit up that world. Did they get lucky? You know, maybe a little, but they certainly drove their business in an amazing way. Zoom, look at Zoom, right? There's Skype was an $8 billion acquisition, and who Skypes anymore? So Zoom took the pandemic and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it easy. We're going to make it easy for grandparents to Zoom with their grandchildren. And they won that game because they made it easy. So there's always opportunity.
I agree. Now, once someone picks a path, they got to refine their strategy. And at the beginning of chapter 4 of BYOB, you say, no matter how many years you've been flying airplanes, you still go through that pre-flight checklist step by step before you lift that plane off the ground. There are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old bold pilots. Startup entrepreneurs rarely take the time to experiment, refine, and systemize every little process, but you will never really accelerate your business until you have created that pre-flight checklist. Talk about, what are some items on your pre-flight checklist?
So everything I do every week, every month, I look at my goals and I say, what are the most important things I need to do that week? And I reference back to them to make sure I'm on track. Anybody can sit there and go, hey, I've got a health and wellness plan for myself, but you need some accountability. You've got to go back to the goals and to the checklist to say, what's important? Am I actually getting all these things done? In our business, so pick 1-800-GOT-JUNK as an example. A checklist isn't meant to train people. A checklist is just meant to remind skilled people all the things that are important. So when you show up in the morning, have you checked that you've got all your equipment in the trucks? Have you checked that the truck's clean and shiny? Have you checked that all your team has uniforms? You only get one chance to make a first impression. So you need a checklist to hold you accountable to the excellence that you expect in your business and your people. Would you ever want to be on a flight where the pilot decides, today I don't need to look at the checklist? Of course they're skilled, but what if they're tired and they forget one little thing? So I'm a big believer that systems are what keep us great in our business and great in our lives.
No, I love that. And you're right. You can take that checklist in your life. Exactly right. And I got to interview Ed Mylett recently, and I went to one of his events and heard him speak. And I am not the emotional. I'm kind of like the, you know, tough guy, let's go, bam. And I was in the audience with about 500 other people, and everybody was bawling. And he was telling the story about the power of one more. And so, you know, your version is really a pre-flight checklist. His is, you know, if you're doing 10 push-ups, do one more. If you tell your kids you love them one more time. Have you ever had to use that kind of mindset? Because you mentioned mindset earlier of having to do one more, like maybe you were about to fail and you did one more and it broke through. Has that ever happened to you recently in business and life and personal?
Yeah. So my favorite one more story is when I came up with the idea of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, we were called the Rubbish Boys. We were a small company in Vancouver, Canada. We had had 5 or 6 trucks. And I thought, I want to build this across North America, but I need a different brand. And so we came up with this 1-800-GOT-JUNK concept, fell in love with the brand, hired a designer to create the brand exactly as it is today on all our 2,000 trucks. But I said, I need to get that phone number. And I remember trying to hunt down the 1-800-GOT-JUNK phone number. I couldn't find out who owned it, couldn't find out how to get it. I made 59 phone calls to different people, the phone company, AT&T, trying to get it. It was that 60th phone call to the phone room of the Department of Transportation of Idaho, who owned the phone number. And I'd called Michael in the phone room 3 times, and I'm like, dude, I just need this number. He goes, I don't know why it's important to you, but this is the 3rd call. Maybe he just wanted me off of his back. He goes, you know what? The number isn't used enough. You seem to want it. Off you go. So just one more. We pursue with great tenacity the things that are important that matter. And you can't give up. What if I gave up on phone call number 57 or 58 or 59? I wouldn't have gotten that phone number for free, by the way, and built this brand that's $600 million in revenue with so many great people changing lives, all because of that extra just one more. Just one more.
I love that. I love that. And I added some of my notes here about the Rubbish Boys. Why was it called the Rubbish Boys? What came up with that name?
There was a TV show years ago called 30-something. They had this 2 brothers or 2 guys that had an ad agency, and they were called the Ad Boys. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not in the ad business. I'm in the junk business, and just called it the Rubbish Boys. Too many people thought we were a band. Too many people in the U.S. as we wanted to expand. The rubbish is more of a Canadian, sort of British term. So I rebranded it as junk removal and created an entire industry. I mean, I look back on 33 years and I'm like, this was a one truck business. This was something that nobody had brought professionalism to, yet our people stepped up and said, we are going to make this the FedEx of junk removal. And we're now doing it in window washing, gutter cleaning with Shack Shine. We're doing it in Wow One Day Painting with franchises where we take people that don't love painting, and we're not looking for people that are painters. We're looking for people that love to build businesses that change lives for families. Painting a home in a day, who wants the disruption of having your home painted in 2 weeks when it can be done in a day with the same quality? And they're fun industries to be in.
No, I'm sure. And it's exciting because I know there's listeners out there just itching to find something to do. And you said something, you don't even have to like painting. Like, I don't like to install solar. I don't even like heights. Now, I like to talk to people and I like to meet people, but you don't have to like the particular part of the business as long as you like the people, you believe in the product, you believe in the dream, and you believe in making it right for customers, you can run a business, right?
It's interesting. You hit a really cool point there. I would say, for Wow One Day Painting, if someone liked painting, that would be a big sort of check mark against them. We want people that like people. We want people that want to build a great team, who are going to be pounding the pavement, driving sales, and really want to see the smile on the customer's face at the end of the job. When I used Wow One Day Painting, I looked at 3 companies. The first 2 came in and did not impress me. They were exactly what you'd expect in the painting space. The 3rd guy comes in and says, when we agree on painting day, it'll get done in a day, same price, same quality as anyone else. I come home at the end of that day. I was blown away that he actually did what he said he would do. It was so professional. I said, I got to buy this company. And we rebranded it as Wow One Day Painting because that was the feeling as a customer that I felt. So we want franchise owners that want to get that feeling back from a customer. They smile, they're relieved, they're happy. Doesn't matter what brand they use, that's the commonality. We're in happy businesses with happy customers.
Now, let's hear from our sponsors.
I love that. So talk about vision. I know you mean you have talked many times before in what was that? There was the app that we did, Clubhouse, right? Some of the, remember Clubhouse? We did Clubhouse stuff. Yeah. Oh God. It's on the back of the resume, but we've done the Clubhouse thing and we would talk about how important culture is. Talk about the culture that you have built with your franchise owners and them building with their employees.
Yeah. It's an optimistic, we can take on the world type culture. I've got a sign behind me, a Walt Disney quote that says, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. We love impossible things. We love challenges. And it's a bigger and better together model. I've always said as an entrepreneur, and anyone that would ever see our office would see, there's no private offices, not for me, not for anyone in the business. We're all out in the open. We do things together. We're building something bigger and better together. I would have never chosen to do any of this alone. And that's the culture that we have. So you look at a sports team, you know, games are not won by one single player, a quarterback, doesn't matter. It's the team working together. They depend on each other. And that's the culture we've got and we're proud of. And it makes business that much sweeter. And when you go through a problem, you go through a challenge, there's someone there by your side, on your team with you. We just sit there and go, okay, we got this. We can do this. It's a pretty special place.
No, I love that. I'm pulling up something about vision, right? At Pink Energy, we just did a whole rebranding. And like our vision is, you know, to inspire humanity to have a more sustainable, reliable, cleaner world, right? And so you're big into vision as well. And you have three different industries, but I think the vision is aligned. What in like a short paragraph would be Brian's vision for those three companies, those three organizations?
Yeah, it's to make ordinary businesses exceptional, one experience at a time. And so we take the ordinary business of painting, house painting, the ordinary business of shining people's shacks, and they are ordinary, but we bring professionalism, smiley, happy people, customer service. So the vision is one experience at a time, every single job. Let's wow that customer so that they refer us, that they talk about us. You don't build a $600 million business with bad customer experience. Every single job matters. So our strategic formula to get to our vision is we take care of our people. If we take care of our people, they will take care of the customer. If we take care of the customer, they will take care of the growth of our brand, our profits, our opportunity, and so on. And most people think, you know, it's all about the customer. For us, it's all about the people. Start with our people, the customer will be taken care of. And you talk about vision, you know, vision to me is everything. People follow leaders who believe in big things. You know, look at Elon Musk, who has sit there and said, you know, all the big things he's going to do. And has he missed on some of them? Sure. Has he tried a whole bunch of new things and succeeded? Absolutely. Who would have ever thought that Tesla would be the size of the company that they are, the biggest, most valuable automaker in the world? And people want to follow something compelling and exciting. So how do you get out there and take someone and a vision and go, are you on board with me? If you look behind you, do you have people following your leadership? And it starts with vision, and it attracts people and it repels people. It attracts people who go, I want to be a part of your vision. I want to do this with you. And some people that go, I don't believe in your vision. We're not going to get there. And they leave.
And it's okay. It's okay that some people don't want to be a part of that. That's absolutely. That there's a place for those folks as well. And, you know, you talked about customer service, and some of our struggles in our industry is, you know, solar gets a bad name, right? And we've had our own growing pains and growing challenges to where we grew too fast. And in some instances, we didn't have the best service. We've gone out and extended warranties and stepped up to the plate and said, look, we're going to, you know, make every customer as satisfied as possible. But I'm living example, you know, my business to where we grew too fast and we had some upset customers that we have to address and fix. And we're getting better every day at that and build up the team. Do you ever run into that to where some of those challenges with customers, you got to make it right by them because of some growing pains or growing challenges?
Of course. Absolutely. So every one of our brands in the early stages, it's like a kid that's learning, or a baby that's learning to crawl and walk. What happens? They fall down when they're learning to walk. When we're at that walk stage in a business, things happen. Things go wrong. We bring on some of the wrong franchise partners. We have some of the wrong systems, or our competition's beating us. And you look at that and you say, well, how can I be better? So, you know, in any business, I love looking at the competition and saying, what is my competitor, my biggest competitor, my smallest competitor doing in our space? What can we learn from them? What can we do better? We've invited our competitors in for our daily huddle, and we'll bring a junk removal company or a window washing company in. They're like, why am I here? And I'm like, we might as well know each other and support each other versus being enemies. And it's that constant learning. And so when a customer experience goes sideways, we don't sit there and beat anyone up about it. We look at it and we go, okay, willing to fail. What did we do wrong? How do we avoid this from ever happening again? And best companies figure that out and they continue to grow. DoorDash, who I talked about, I sent a LinkedIn message to the CEO of DoorDash. And I said, I just had three really bad experiences. And I'm someone who's a fan of DoorDash and you guys just do great work. But the last three have been really bad. He responded, like multi-billion dollar worth of a company. And the CEO responded to me and said, you know what? We are going to bring this up in our morning meeting of all the worst cases that go sideways. But we're going to say, what's the commonality here? And what do we do to shore it up and improve things? And I was impressed. I didn't need anything from the company, but just knowing that they actually look at their daily problems, their weekly problems, and they try and fix them. And I'm a loyal DoorDash customer. I need to cook a little bit more, but you know what? I'm happy that when I'm busy, I can still just like get that salad.
We're all guilty of that. I've got DoorDash on the way now. You know, it's about lunchtime here soon. So trust me, I'm guilty of that. You know, but customers aren't. My son asked me, my son's 12, and he's like, Dad, you know, like when, because I respond, I'll get someone that LinkedIn, you know, sends me a DM or sends me a message in LinkedIn. You know, I've had my system, I was on hold for 45 minutes. I've had some issues with things not working. And we've had some of the product manufacturers had some issues. So we had some performance issues with some folks. And so we have to address it and beef up the team. But I'll say, you know, hey, you know, Mr. Scudamore, I apologize. It should never be this way. Let me get a director involved. And me just doing that, responding to them, like you just said, is a game changer because I care. Like I don't want anybody hit. If they're going to take the time to message me, I'm not going to ignore that. I'm going to, you know, spend time with them and try to make it right. And how do we get better? And I share it with the director and I share it with the leaders over in the customer care department. But my point to that is my 12-year-old son goes, well, you know, how many of those do you get a month? And I go, I don't know, 5, 10, you know, that someone will send me something. You know, we have 45,000 customers. And he goes, oh, that seems like a lot. And I said, well, son, let me ask you something. If we went to a restaurant, it was really good. Do we go and give them a positive review? No. If we really like that show, do we go give it a review? No. I said, but if things were horrible, are we giving it a review? Yeah. I said, that's the problem with this world. We're only giving a review and telling people when things are bad. We're not telling them, hey, you know what? That went really well for me. Keep it up. And so I try to put that mindset in his head because, and you as an entrepreneur with several franchise owners, you know, we now always ask for, hey, can you give us a review? Good, bad, or ugly? Give us a review because we want them to be engaged with our business, whether it's good or bad. And a lot of companies don't do that.
Yeah, we don't want just the fluff, right? We want to hear from people like, yeah, this is what went well. This is what you could have improved. We do it with our people internally. And the worst thing is silence. You want people to speak up, customers and employees to just say it as it is, and here's what's going on. I love what you shared with your son. And we do need to inspire people more to call out the good things. You know, do we thank the service people that gave us service at a restaurant or did anything? I mean, yes, we give them tips, but we feel obligated to do that. What about just giving them love and giving them a high five and go, you know what? Like, you were amazing. And the expectation, too, that things aren't perfect, having some empathy for people when we experience other people's services. It's we're all people, right? And that's important.
Well, listen, I'm going to wrap this up. There you guys have it, folks. Some of the incredible wisdom you got from one of the most seasoned entrepreneurs in the game. Be sure to check out O2E Brands and both of Brian's incredible books. Where can they find you at, Brian?
They can go to brianscudamore.com. I mean, the easiest way, you put Brian Scudamore into Google or any one of our brands and you'll find me, you'll find us, any of your social poison, whatever you pick, and send me a note. Let me know what you think of the book. We made the Kindle 99 cents so that nobody has an excuse not to look at taking that step into entrepreneurship. If it's something you've thought of, you're one of the two thirds that wants to be an entrepreneur, at least grab a cold beer, grab a coffee, read the book, BYOB, and just go, hey, is it for me? And what I love most is watching people grow. And I don't care if somebody becomes a franchise partner of ours or another business or starts something from scratch or works for an entrepreneur. I just want my passion for entrepreneurship to be followed and embraced by others like you and I, who we love every day of what we do, and totally blessed.
Well, I want to thank you for writing the book, because the book's amazing. People out there, you're in for a treat. BYOB, be your own boss. Thanks for tuning in. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com to subscribe to all of them. And that's a wrap. Bam!
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Damn, damn, True Underdog. Damn, damn. Unleash the power.